Welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, your resource for exploring the world of disciple making and leadership within the church. Discover Jesus' strategy for raising up leaders, growing the church, and multiplying a movement. Let's jump into today's episode and explore the power of a disciple making leader.
All right. Well, welcome to our next episode of the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. Man, Craig, it's good to see you, my friend.
Hey, man, glad to be here.
Joined by my other host, Craig, the man Etheridge, and my name's Glenn Underhill. I'm the executive director for Disciple First. I'm also the pastor of spiritual development at Cross Creek Church.
The one, the only.
I wouldn't say the one and only. If you want to say that, I'm absolutely. I'm really okay with that. But I'm excited about our episode today because we are going to be talking as we continue to talk about this idea of a leadership pipeline and the importance of that. I know that you've recently written a book on the disciple making leader, and today we're going to unpack this idea, discuss the optimal trajectory of a disciple making leader.
Yeah.
And
it's one of my favorite episodes, by the way.
Yeah, well, and one of mine too, because we have a special guest that's going to
He's a secret guest. He'll come on. Yes. Stay with us because you don't know who it is. So you're not going to want to miss it.
That's right. So let's just dive right in.
All right, come on.
And get this thing talked about.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about this idea of a disciple making church.
Yep.
And the necessity of needing disciple making leaders. And so in some of our previous episodes and podcasts, we talked about this idea of having a pathway. And then also, even in our last one, we talked about the necessity of having a pipeline. So why don't you just kind of give us a 50,000 foot overview of pathway and pipeline.
Yeah, yeah, because they kind of sound the same, don't they?
They do. They
pathways
start with
and
P's.
Pipelines. Yeah, that's right.
Maybe your preaching earnest came out and all that.
You know, I maybe need another P, you know, you got to have three for it to be, you know, of God.
That's right.
So, yeah, you know, they sound kind of the same. People may go, well, are they really any different? But they really are. And this is a little challenge, Glenn, because if we were sitting together, I could just draw this out on a napkin. I mean, right. We did this 100 times. I remember the first time I went to your office and I said, okay, I'm going to draw this thing out for you. And as we drew it out, you were like, that totally makes sense. I mean, we're like, this is something that is really putting pieces together, right, for us that we've been working on. So think of the pathway like a horizontal line, okay? And you're moving down the pathway. And if you go back to that episode on the pathway, you can get a deeper dive. We're not going to be able to cover all the nuances of that here. We're just reviewing. But the pathway is just how did Jesus move people down a spiritual pathway from kind of exploring the claims of Christ to crossing the faith line, then to connecting with believers and being established in the church, and then to growing as a disciple, which is higher levels of accountability and training and equipping, and then ultimately to multiplying as a disciple making person.
Yeah.
And so we spent a lot of time, and we wrote a whole book called Bold Moves just on the pathway.
Right.
And so when we started leading our church down this direction, we spent years just working on identifying the pathway. How do our people understand the pathway? Where are you on the pathway? What's your next step on the pathway? You know, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. And I love the word pathway because it really is a journey, right? Mm-hmm. Our spiritual, this spiritual holistic, it really is a journey from going from untrained, irreligious, maybe skeptic,
right?
Moving to becoming a fully trained, reproducing disciple of Jesus Christ. And that's a journey. And
it
some
is.
Make that journey quick Some take a little bit longer.
That's right.
To get there, and it's a little messy along the way.
I sort of say sometimes you fall into a ditch.
You do, right? Or you hit a wall, or you know stuff along the way.
Yeah.
But that's what I love about this word pathway, because it really speaks to a journey, a destination, right. So to speak. And I do feel like Jesus does have a preferred destination for all of us, and that's to be a fully reproducing. Mm-hmm. Disciple maker, who's capable of turning around and helping people go from being a spiritual explorer to a proven multiplier.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me now then about this. So that's the pathway.
That's the pathway.
How does the pathway and the pipeline kind of work together?
Yes.
And you might, and before I'm jumping in before you even get a chance, but you might even talk a little bit about the pathway too, or the pipeline first,
yeah,
and what, you know, those levels of, okay, of the pipeline are, and then maybe even then talk about how they work together.
Yeah. Okay. So the path, if you kind of envision in your mind, the pathway is this horizontal line of moving down, as you described, this spiritual maturity, crossing the faith line, connecting, being trained, and then ultimately multiplying. Think of the pipeline as a vertical line. Okay. And so the vertical line is you're kind of starting at a what we call a self-leader, which is really just a volunteer. That's kind of where most of us started, you know, in church ministry. All of us at one point were just a volunteer. And then maybe moving from that into a team leader, which would be a next step in the leadership pipeline. Then the next step beyond that would be a leader of leaders or leader of team leaders. And then beyond that, a departmental leader, and then ultimately an organization leader. And so there are people that move up the pipeline as they begin to grow. I know your own story. You know, you were an intern. You know, I was an intern at one point, and that was kind of how things were. And then you kind of moved into, hey, can you lead this? Can you oversee these people? Can you do this teacher training? And then all of a sudden, you don't even know it. You're just kind of moving into different roles until you get to be the departmental leader. I'm the youth pastor. I'm the college pastor. I'm the whatever. And then you move in into, you know, senior leader roles or organizational leader roles. So just about every church has got these strata of leadership, and usually people that are in roles like we're talking to now, mostly church leaders, you've kind of been through them. You could probably go through your own story and kind of pick, you know, when I kind of navigated my way through them, whether intentionally, unintentionally, you made your way up.
Right.
And so you've got the pathway kind of on the horizontal, and you've got the pipeline on the vertical. Mm. And so we've been playing around with that. And I remember the first time we drew out that on like an XY axis. All right. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And this is going to throw back to your old economics class. Remember your economics class?
Oh, yeah. Supply and demand, baby.
That's it. That's it. That's it. Very good. And you remember I drawn all these lines and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. So if you have this XY axis, then what we were trying to articulate is we draw a line kind of where they intersect, and we drew like a diagonal line up and to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this diagonal line represents what we call the optimal trajectory of a disciple-making leader. And that means that as they are moving down the pathway, as they're coming to faith in Jesus, as they're connecting in the church, as they're being discipled, as they're learning to multiply, then those that have leadership gifts and desires and acumen and so on, they actually get kind of recognized as they go along, and they're asked to go up to different levels of leadership as they go along the pathway. So eventually you get to a point where the people in the highest levels of leadership are the people that are furthest down the pathway.
Right.
They're multiplying, disciple making. I mean, they're walking with God. They're leading out the overflow of their life. They're investing in others. They're multiplying. And that's who's at the top of the leadership level are the people that have that disciple making DNA. And this is where you and I began to go, this is making total sense, because we would visit other pastors, and then, of course, just people even that in our own church that we're talking to, and we go, well, how come they don't really have this disciple-making DNA, you know? And so you begin to realize that, hey, they didn't follow this trajectory, right? That they followed a different one, which we're going to cover in the next episode. So there's a little teaser for the next episode. We're not going to talk about that. We're calling that divergent paths. Mm-hmm. But in this episode, we're talking about what is the optimal path.
Right.
And that is moving down the pipeline, down the pathway. And then as you grow in your walk with God, then you are slowly being elevated to higher levels of leadership, till ultimately, at the highest level, you are a disciple-making leader, or whatever level you're in, you're a leader that understands disciple-making. You're embodying that in your very life and core.
Yeah, it's your DNA.
It's your DNA.
Yeah, disciple-making is that, I mean, if you were to cut them open, they'd bleed all over the table.
So you didn't know that I'm going to ask you this question.
I didn't know this. This is in
the show notes here. So let's talk about your journey.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think about kind of how you went down the pathway, and then how you elevated up the pipeline? Can you identify those markers for you?
Yeah. So absolutely, but mine was kind of out of order. Right. So I found myself as a student pastor back in the late 90s, my first shot out. I was a departmental leader. I was leading a student ministry of several hundred, and I had somewhere between 75 and 100 volunteers serving in the ministry. And we had somewhere between 200 and 300 students over the span of that time. And but I had not. I would say I was just still at the connect phase
on the pathway.
On the pathway,
yeah.
And it was at that church that a gentleman really began to say, "Hey." In fact, the very first question he would always ask is, "Hey, what's God teaching you?" And I'm like, "Oh." And I was just making stuff up, right?
You're totally making stuff up.
I mean, I love Jesus, right? But I was like, man. And then it became kind of like I got tired of him asking me that question.
You're like dodging him in the hallway.
Totally avoiding him. But then, you know, he finally came back around and said, hey, let me help you have a pathway to knowing God more deeply, intimately, and personally. Let me help come alongside you and help you really have an impact on the people that God's put in your circle of concern, your areas of influence, and really be a light, a presence of the gospel amongst them, right? Being an incarnate right there. And then let me teach you how to invest your life in others, to do the same thing. And that was a game changer for me. And that changed the trajectory, which ultimately changed the trajectory of our student ministry too, and how we were doing it. Because up to that point, you know, we were doing,
you know, you were swallowing goldfish.
Yeah, swallowing goldfish. And doing a lot of well, we won't go there. And doing a lot of things on connect and explore, but we weren't fully embodying the pathway.
Because you hadn't been down it.
Because I hadn't. And you can only, that's what we say all the time, you can only take, as a leader, you can only take people as far as you've been.
Right.
And so that's a little bit of my story.
Yeah.
And so I think
that story resonates with a lot of people, because most of the people probably listening to us could say, yeah, that's my story. You know, that was my story too, is that we didn't fully know that there was a spiritual growth pathway. We didn't really advance very far down it, but we rose up to the top for various reasons, opportunity, skill, you know, charisma, for your case, good looks. And so you get in these roles, right? And then you're like, oh, you know, I need to move down the pathway more to really be a disciple-making leader. And praise God, that is exactly what you've done. But the optimal, you know, that's kind of the rough way to get there. Really, what the optimal trajectory would be, man, somebody growing, being discipled, and as they're being discipled, then they're just kind of rising up to leadership, so that by the time they're a multiplier, they're now have risen to the highest levels of leadership, and they're able to embody and infuse this disciple-making DNA throughout the whole organization.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say I was definitely the divergent
Right.
One. Yeah. For sure.
Which we'll cover and, yeah, next
which we're
episode.
Going to cover in our next episode.
That's right.
But I was definitely the diversion. I was not the optimal.
But, Glenn, we have somebody here in the studio with us that did not take the divergent path.
Right. That didn't take it.
He actually was on the optimal trajectory.
That's right.
And so why don't you introduce him?
Yeah. So we have our good friend and actually coworker. His name is Zach Towery. Zach, welcome to the Disciple Making Leader podcast.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
We're glad you're joining us. And hey, so why don't you just real quickly tell us what you do here at Cross Creek?
So current role is pastor of operations. So oversee finance, facilities, communications, HR. All kinds of things.
All kinds of you making everything work.
our building project.
Yeah. We don't want to bring it up. Right now.
That's why you guys don't have hair, both of you.
That's,
you
know, so. Hey, that's just good look, baby. That's just good looking, right? Imagine what it would look like to be part of a movement. Imagine raising up church leaders. Imagine launching disciple-making churches all over the world. Imagine you being a part of growing God's kingdom far beyond your own city. Well, you don't have to imagine, it's happening, and you can get involved. The Cross Creek Network is a church planting network committed to planting disciple-making churches in cities like Las Vegas, New York, Montreal, Lusaka, and entire regions like Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. If your heart's desire is to plant churches that make disciples and multiply, then join us. Together, we can make a difference that lasts for eternity. To find out more, go to crosscreeknetwork.com. That's crosscreeknetwork.com.
Obviously, so here's a quick question for you, Zach. In the current state of the position you're in, was that ever something you ever imagined might be where you were in your life?
Absolutely not.
That wasn't like on career day in high school, you said, I really want to be an ops pastor at a local church.
That was not on my radar.
He kind of answered that with, like, really all of a sudden. There was no pause or...
Yeah, he didn't even think about it. So, he didn't think about it.
Well, why don't you kind of give us a little bit of your story? Because obviously Craig set you up really well. He put the tee on the box, he put the ball on the tee. That's what I was trying to say there.
Did you play golf in college?
Yeah, you're the golfer.
So he kind of teed you up. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this and how that played out in your journey?
Yeah, so I was in the corporate world. Spent about 15 years with an industrial distributor. I was a district sales manager that oversaw sales and operations for about 20 different locations. I had about 100 employees underneath me. And I was attending. I'd been at Cross Creek Church since 2005. We'd been here raising a family here. And Glenn decided to come approach me one Sunday morning after church and said, hey, I'm going to have some guys come over to my house on Thursday nights, and we're going to meet and read the Bible and pray and memorize scripture, and would you like to be a part of that? And I had no idea what I was getting into. But, you know, I knew from my own faith that I just kind of had a little bit of, surely there's more to life than just showing up at work every day and then on the weekends coming to church and raising a family. So I was spiritually looking for something more, or I thought there was something deeper to life, but didn't really know what that was until we started meeting.
Yeah. And in that process, what began to happen in you, both, you know, maybe internally, kind of that transformation piece, where would you say, hey, if I were thinking about where I was when I maybe approached you about jumping in that group, where you were along the pathway, and then kind of where you kind of got, you know, dropped off, so to speak, after that time, and kind of fill us in with all of those details.
Yeah, so I was totally in the connect phase, complacent in my life. I say that where I was, I hadn't jumped out of that, trying to move down the pathway. Came to faith in high school, in my youth group, and was baptized. And we'd always gone to church. We grew up in church, went to a Christian university, had, you know, biblical conversations all the time. I knew the Bible, knew the Word. But I had not really learned what that looked like to lead my family well, how to love my wife well. What I mean, had a young family, had a young wife. So it was just I was kind of lost, honestly. Mom and dad were great believers growing up, but I didn't really see their faith in action, and so I didn't like I have a great model for what that looked like. And so I, you know, it was really great. Glenn, you were a couple years ahead of me in life, and I got to watch you lead your kids, and they were there on the nights when we come over to your house and get to see them, put them to bed, and what this looked like, and just your family in general. And that really began for me to spark, hey, I need to do things better. There's a better way for me to live. And the Word of God is great. So if you're in the Word on a regular basis, then you begin to really, He begins to refine you and pull out the sin in your life that you need to get rid of, and gives you a desire to walk with Him closely each and every day.
Yeah, so you started to develop some habits, some spiritual habits that were maybe missing. You started to develop and getting developed in the area of being effective in even like, hey, how do I begin to take my areas of concern, my circles of concern, like at work, and start really infusing that into, I mean, talk about it a little bit about, because I mean, it's just full scale. It wasn't just at your home or in your personal life. I mean, it impacted ultimately every area of your life.
Yeah, if I could tell that to believers nowadays, like if you're all in, you're all in. And I think that's where I didn't understand how to be all in. I was trying to do the corporate thing and climb the corporate ladder and provide for my family here and then also be a believer. And I didn't really understand what that looked like in everyday aspect. And so when you put Jesus at the center of your life, right, if it's a pie and He's in the middle of it, then every piece you cut's got a piece of Jesus. And so if that's work, He's in work. And if it's in recreation, He's in recreation. If it's in church, He's there. Family, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, He's there with you. I had never looked at my faith that way. Mm-hmm. I looked at it as my Bible was there. I knew about to go and read it if I needed it. If I was going on Sunday morning, I picked it up and took it out the door with me, but it was not a daily lifestyle or habit that I was having in my life.
I tell you, I remember when you were bringing lots of guys from work to church. Remember? And then we had this outreach ministry midweek where people would ask questions and, you know, we really kind of dive into that. Man, you were bringing lots of people that were far from God.
Big fishing pool.
Yeah, man. I mean,
construction industry, you got some guys that are a little rough around the edges. And so, you know, if I'm trying to love them well and to show the love of Christ to them, I just became to take a personal interest in all the employees that are underneath me. And that means I really asked them, hey, how's your family doing? How's your home life? How are things doing? And began to actually care for them and love them, not just based on what sales numbers they brought in each and every month. Mm-hmm. And so I thought my guys could tell that I was a little bit different than the other district managers that I was, my counterparts were there. And so I just kind of endeared myself to them and loved on them well. And then we had an opportunity at church. Thankfully, our church was putting on programs to where people could ask questions if they had spiritual questions. And so I'd bring them to church on Wednesday nights, and we'd sit around a table and talk about, you know, who's God and what's the Bible say about Jesus. And, I mean, it was great to be able to invest in them, both in the workplace and then also on the weeknights and weekends with church.
So now there was a pivot. Because Glenn asked you to go on a mission trip. So don't explain what Glenn's like on a mission trip, because I don't think we could do that. But explain, how was that impactful to you and what happened after that?
Yeah, so I just think back about all the Bible stories of where God used people. He was stretching them out of their comfort zone. And out of your comfort zone, by definition, is you're not comfortable. And that's so people don't really want to do that on a regular basis. So I'd actually had a class in college called Africa Missions. Didn't really like the class. It was a 3-hour course that met once a week. And so it was on a Monday nights, and it was killer. But, you know, you think about having that class, I'd be more apt to want to go to Africa. But I'd made the pact, and I told God, I said, please never send me to Africa.
Wrong prayer to pray,
wrong
right?
Wrong prayer. So Glenn's like, hey, I need you to go, and we're going to go to Zambia. And I'm like, where is Zambia? I have no idea where Zambia is. And I look, and I'm like, that's in Africa. I don't really want to go to Africa. He's like, no, we really need you to go, and we're going to teach these pastors, and we're going to be there for about 14 days. And I think at that time, I probably only had about 20 days of vacation. So the majority of my vacation at work, I'd be taking and going overseas, and I didn't want to go. I was scared to death to go. Had no idea. I traveled the world before, been other places, but Africa, for some reason, for me, was the spot that I just really did not want to go. So September 2009, I board a plane a couple days after the group, meet Glenn over there, and I land at about 11 p.m. after traveling for about 30 hours, literally traveling for 30 hours, and Glenn's like, oh, by the way, you're preaching tomorrow morning.
Hey, on the job training, right?
I'm like, dude, I just sat on an airplane for 30 hours, and I could have been studying and preparing, and no. So, you talk about stretching from the day one and got to preach on a Sunday morning, and what an amazing experience to do that and be with a translator. And then we spent the next week and a half investing in about 13 leaders, different pastors from different denominations that were there, and just teaching them what Glenn had taught me on Thursday nights at his home.
Okay, now let's hit the pause button for a second. You are moving down the pathway.
Yes.
Right? You were already a believer. You said you were kind of in the connect phase, so that was that second stage on the pathway. You were kind of, now you moved on to kind of that grow phase. You're being discipled. You're being trained. You're being stretched. You're going on mission trips. So what's happening of your involvement in the church at this point? Is that growing or is that changing?
Yeah, so we were attending a Connect group, I think, when Glenn came, and we then began taking leadership roles, whether that was, you know, events coordinator or somebody just doing something within the group. And then we ended up starting a new Connect group and trying to reach out to new families that were in our church that were not connected into a group or a community. And then at some point in time, I don't know exactly what the timeline was, but then Glenn asked me to step into a role as a table leader on those Wednesday night discussions with Alpha. And then even he asked me to be a coach for Connect Groups. So I stepped into where I was coaching multiple Connect Groups.
Okay, so you're moving up the pipeline as well, right? You're going from a self-leader, just attending a group, to now a group leader, starting a new group, now a leader of leaders overseeing coaching Connect Group leaders. So as you're going down the pathway, you're starting to say, hey, let's get him more opportunities to lead. And so he's moving up the pipeline.
Yeah, and it was really, obvious. You know, and it's one of the things you see even in the life of Jesus is, I think Jesus, and we've often forget this, is that Jesus was really good at observing. I mean, he took a lot of time to watch. And so having been around Zach a lot, it was very clear to me, Zach had some incredible leadership skills. In fact, I'd even say to this day, he's twice the leader that I'll ever be, because he's just a fantastic leader. He's gifted as a leader. Yep. But the part the small little piece that I got to play was on that piece of helping, you know, help push him along the way and come alongside him along the way on that pathway, and then begin to say, hey, let's you've done this piece really well and you've led real well here, but I think, you know, you still got a lot left under the lid, and let's move you to here. And he did great there, and so on and so forth. And all along the way, as he was growing into a disciple maker, he was also taking those incredible skills and gifts that he had as a leader and, you know, learning to develop and take on new skills and such, and move up the pipeline as well.
Right. So now, Zach, you are you're now multiplying yourself. You're multiplying in pastors in Zambia. Mm-hmm. You're discipling people here.
Yes.
At the church. And then Glenn asked you to go on another trip. I've seen a pattern here. Anytime Glenn asks you to go on a trip, something happens. And this time you go to Israel. Mm. And this really is a big pivot point in your life. So tell us what happened.
Yeah, so God had already started working on me. And I thought that there was some, you know, I felt like this is the Great Commission. That for the rest of my life, I need to be making disciples that make disciples. And so what does that look like? And though I thought I was doing a decent job of that in the corporate world, I felt like I could do more in a different setting. I thought God was going to move me into a nonprofit of some sort that had disciple-making roots. And so the trip for me was very helpful, not only from the aspect of learning about the life of Christ and being in Israel and what that does for your faith and how you read the Bible, but from the standpoint of what that looks like on, we were there with a bunch of people that were from all over the world. And so you had these guys that were all missionaries in different areas. I say missionaries, so they were raising support. Mm-hmm. And I think for the light came on in my brain to say, hey, this could actually work. Right, I could actually be a missionary, whether it was in the States or if I was God was going to move me somewhere else, and I could invest in people for the rest of my life. So a little scary to come home and tell my wife that, hey, I think God's going to transition us.
Yeah.
She wasn't on board. I mean, just really frankly, she was like, what are you talking about? This is crazy. At this point, I think we had 3 children. We were doing well. My corporate job was doing great. I'd been elevated, had more responsibility underneath me, and so that was a little bit terrifying, but that was in 2013. In 2014, after we got home from Israel, we were learning how to take that trip and how to lead that trip for our church. And so Glenn and I took a lot of notes and made a lot of contacts. And we got back, we set a time and booked the trip for 2014. And I signed my wife and I up, and I told her, "Hey, you're going." And she's like, "I can't go. I can't go to Israel." It was a 12-day trip, 10-day trip, something like that. And so we had a 9-year-old. No, I'm sorry. We had a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, hey, we're in a 1-year-old at that point by the time we actually went. And so she's like, I can't go. I'm like, we have 4 kids at home. And I'm like, no, it'll be great. We'll have the grandparents come over and keep them. And so in 2014, she actually got on a plane with me, and we went together to Israel. So.
And God spoke to you there on that trip.
What's funny is the position that I'd wanted in the corporate world was a regional vice president role based out of Dallas. And on that trip with Jen being there with me in Israel, we were actually at the Dead Sea. I get a phone call and says, hey, so-and-so got promoted. Hmm. And that position just got posted. That's your position. And I've been praying through walking, you know, stepping away from my job and coming into ministry full-time. And what does that look like? And so, you know, I just basically laid out, I say, all right, God, so here's the deal. If you want me to stay in the corporate world and make an impact there for you, then great. Let me get that job. And if you don't, then on the other side, I will step away and go into corporate world, out of the corporate world into the church world, and I'll work there as well, whichever one you have for me. So we got home, and I put my name in the hat for it, and I did a great job on the interview. Like, I felt like I just
saying
it,
right? Yeah. Just saying
it. It's funny because I called him and he goes, man, I crushed it.
And the funny thing is that the guy making the decision is a good friend now. And years ago, he passed me over for a position to be a district manager. And we're friends and we cycle together. And there was one day we were riding early in the morning and I said something about, well, you know, you passed me over for the other promotion too. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, I applied to be a district manager in Northeast Arkansas. He said, no, you didn't. I said, yeah, I did. He was going to cover Northeast Arkansas and Memphis. And he said, you didn't apply for that. I totally would have picked you for that. And I said, no, I applied and you didn't pick me. He couldn't even remember. And I talk about, just, you know, God's provision as far as, you know, just covering his eyes from that situation, which led me to stay where I was, which allowed me to be discipled and to grow spiritually. And it's kind of moved me to where we are now.
Yeah. And so you came on staff in a kind of overseeing Disciple First and kind of getting that off the ground, but then you moved eventually into an organizational leader role, which you are now,
yep,
where you have multiple departments underneath you, but your heartbeat is not, I mean, you can do that work like with your eyes closed, but your heart is being a disciple-making leader, and so you help infuse that DNA throughout the whole organization. So how cool. I mean, you and Glenn now are serving peer-to-peer in the church, and we're all 3 together on the same senior leadership team, still dreaming the dream.
It's awesome.
And thank you for sharing your story, Zach.
Absolutely.
And just for people to see, you know, you were elevated up in leadership as you were moving down the pathway, and what resulted was a disciple-making leader. Glenn, I can't think of a better example.
Yeah. I just, it's... it really is a God story, and I kind of always get a little emotional and choked up.
You know, getting a little misty right now?
I am getting a little misty because it just is fun to see how God just you know, because that's a you heard him say some dates along the way, and it didn't just happen overnight. I mean,
right.
When I think about that, I think, wow, what all the little conversations and stories. I remember, you know, talking about sitting down and putting your yes on the table. I mean, how many conversations of yes on the table we had, and you know, and I can remember that call, and you, I remember you saying, "Hey, I'm gonna kind of," because we had talked about that fleece piece, and just saying, "Lord, I really want what you want, but if you want me to have the corporate job, you'll open that door and you'll make that way happen, and if not, then I know very clearly." And when, I can remember when you got, you know, you called me back to say, "Hey, that didn't go. I do remember that moment of time, like, but there was just this sense you knew unequivocally what God had for you. And man, I love you and just so proud of you, and so proud of the way you live your life and the way you lead. And it's been a real joy. I mean, you know, when that verse, I think of every time I look at Zach, I think of Luke 10:20. And Jesus was full of joy. I get full of joy, because it just, to watch how you lead your home, how you lead the organization that God's put you under, how you shepherd our church well. And I'm just so glad I got to be a small part of it.
Well, and you know, there's a rest of the story, and that is one of the guys that Zach ministered to in the corporate world. Began to come to our church, started being disciples, started going down the same pathway, had a same decision to go into ministry, and he now is one of our key leaders in Disciple First.
Yep.
And helps lead it. So there's just, you know, you start seeing more and more of these people. In fact, we found men in our church, as they went down the pathway and started moving up the pipeline, they were like, "Okay, I'm quitting my corporate job. What am I going to do next?" You're like, "Well, hold on a second. Let's figure out what to do with you," you know?
Right.
But I mean, that happens. That really does happen. And I just want people listening here to be encouraged by Glenn, your example, and Zach, your example, to say, hey, if you disciple people and you move them down the pathway and up the pipeline, then you're that's a launching pad for disciple-making leaders that can really move the ministry forward.
Well, guys, thanks. Zach, thanks for hanging out with us for a little bit. Craig, thanks for being on the podcast. And again, if Disciple First can be of any help to come alongside and help in the areas of training, coaching, or resourcing, please visit our website at disciplefirst.com. And we'd love to do that, because we really do exist to help empower the local church to make and multiply disciples like Jesus. So guys, great having you, and just love both of you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Disciple Making Leader podcast, brought to you by Disciple First. We hope today's episode has been both helpful and challenging in your journey to becoming a disciple making leader. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you hear the next episode. And if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, keep making Jesus the model for your life and ministry.